will have nice time for your train, dear. Put Miss Creed's bag in the hall, Lucy.
Yes, miss.
I hope you'll have a good journey, dear.
Thank you, Leonora.
Oh, I can't tell you what it means to me to be able to offer my sisters a holiday here. It's so good of you to let me go up and fetch them. They'd never have faced the journey alone.
I'm quite looking forward to their visit. You've talked so much about them, I feel they're old friends.
They're rather pathetic, you know, dear. But they're all I've got left.
Oh, there's one other thing while you're there. I want you to take this note to Lord Carnardington's house in Berkeley Square.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the butler to give it to his lordship privately. And whatever you do, don't lose the reply.
Oh, hasn't the money come this quarter?
No.
After all you've been spending, too. Oh, dear.
Now, run along, Ellen. Run along. Have a good journey.
Thank you. Goodbye, dear.
Leave the door, will you?
Yes, all right.
Goodbye.
This parcel's just come for you, miss.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. I wonder what it is. Oh, it's the new comic opera. I used to tour the provinces with the gentleman who sent it to me. Look, he signed it for me.
Oh.
Rutland Barrington.
The Mikado.
Oh, the Mikado. Oh. It's been the rage of London for months. Here, run along and take this paper and string. Now we've got this room comparatively straight. I want it to be kept straight.
Yes, miss. Let me see.
I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't Willow, tit Willow, tit Willow. It was blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, Willow, tit Willow, tit Willow. And if you remain careless and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why.
Though I probably shall not exclaim as I die, oh, Willow, tit Willow, tit Willow.
Who are you?
Go on, then stop.
What are you doing here?
Listening.
Well, either come in or go out.
Thanks very much. I'm really looking for Miss Creed. She lives here, doesn't she?
Yes, she lives here. But she's driven into Rochester. Didn't you pass her on the road?
No, I've just walked over from Gravesend along the Thames Wall and up through the marshes.
I wonder you found your way. They're tricky, the marshes, you know.
Don't I know it. I've been up to my knees in three jolly dykes already.
Well, hadn't you better sit down?
Yeah, thanks, sir. If I shan't damage the furniture. How long will I have to wait for my aunt?
Your aunt? Oh, you're not Albert, are you?
Albert Feather, that's me.
The nephew who works in a bank at Gravesend?
Did work, yeah.
Oh?
That's rather what I've come to see Aunt Ellen about. Now, I must get back tonight, though. How long will I have to wait for her?
About a week, I think.
A week?
Yes, she's gone to London.
Oh, Lord, that has done it.
Why, what's the matter? Could I help?
But I don't know who you are. Or what you're doing in my aunt's house.
Who told you it was your aunt's house?
Well, isn't it? Aunt Ellen wrote she was living here. Well, you aren't a lost cousin from Australia by any chance.
No, we are not related, Albert. If you want to know, Estuary House is my house. And your aunt is living with me as a housekeeper companion.
Oh, the artful old geezer. She has led the family up the garden path.
Well, don't say anything about it. You see, the poor dear's lost most of her little bit of money. I expect she doesn't want you to know that she's come down in the world.
She hasn't lost everything.
Practically.
Oh, no. But what happened to that old curio shop of hers in Bartholomew Close? I thought that was a little gold mine.
Oh, I'm afraid more gold went into that than ever came out. That happens to a lot of gold mines.
I'll say this is a blow.
I used to buy things at that shop of hers. That was the beginning of our association. And then when I saw she wasn't doing well and I was leaving London, I asked if she'd like to come with me.
I expect you've been awfully good to her.
Oh, I don't know. She suits me, and we've got this mutual taste for antiques.
Oh, I see.
Getting this place right has been a great interest. The farmers who lived here before had matchboarded in these walls and then papered them with terracotta roses. And we stripped them off ourselves.
What, you and Aunt Ellen?
Oh, your aunt is very clever with her hands. It's not difficult either, if you've plenty of time.
You're lucky. Time's everything to me at the moment. If it's not asking, what's your name?
I'm Miss Fisk. Leonora Fisk.
Perhaps I can help you.
Oh, well, I hardly like to tell you.
I see. What's the amount?
£12.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And what do you want £12 for, Albert?
I need it for a debt.
Won't it wait?
No, I must have it by tonight.
Why is it so urgent?
I'm short in my account at the bank. Petty cash.
I see. That is serious, isn't it?
I've got till tomorrow to put it back when the cashier checks up. That means jug if they find out. I'm sure Aunt Ellen will pay you back.
I think we'd better leave Aunt Ellen out of it. What have you been spending the money on? Cards? Racing?
Nah. A girl. She's an actress. Huh? There was a company in Gravesend last week.
At the old Grand?
Oh, do you know it?
I've played there. Years ago, of course.
Oh, you weren't an actress, were you?
Front row of the chorus. Fourth from the right.
Huh. Funny she's in the chorus, too. You've moved up in life, though.
Perhaps I've been lucky. I suppose you took her out to supper?
Yeah.
And then she persuaded you to go round the shops with her.
How did you know?
She may even have let you kiss her. And I'm quite sure that she promised you a great deal more.
Yeah, she let me down nicely, the little...
Oh, she probably has her point of view.
Well, anyway, she's over the hills now, and I suppose she'll find some other fool to steal for her.
Very well, Albert. You shall have your £12. After all, I owe it to you, in a sense. Or to some other fool. Oh, my goodness. Oh, don't do that.
Tony, I'm so grateful.
Well, it's no earthly use being hysterical about money, Albert. The scrape's over. You're out of it.
I wish I knew how to thank you.
You're not in a violent hurry, are you?
No. Not now.
So tell me something about your family. About your aunts. Oh, not Aunt Ellen. The others. Aunt Louisa and Aunt Emily.
Oh, you mean the potty ones.
Potty?
Oh, well, queer, perhaps I should say. Oh, they're quite harmless.
Well, that's a comfort. They're coming to stay here. Aunt Ellen's on her way to London now to fetch them.
Then you've got a good time coming. Of course, you might be able to handle them.
They seem to mean a great deal to your Aunt Ellen.
Oh, well, they've sort of taken the place of children with her. Somehow, when she's with Aunt Louisa and Aunt Emily, she always makes me think of a tigress with her cubs.
Oh, you silly boy.
Well, I suppose I ought to be getting back. If you're really going to...
Cough up the needful?
Yeah.
I'll just run up and get my keys.
You are a lifesaver, Miss Fisk. It's pity there aren't more like you.
That's a matter of opinion, Albert.
Mind if I have a tinkle on your piano? We've only got an old tin kettle where I lodge.
No, do. I won't be long.
My Susie Ann, the greatest of ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. His movements are graceful.
Whoever are you?
Hello.
Oh, you did scare me. A man's voice. It's so funny here.
Doesn't the tide wash up many male fish, my angel?
No. Men are as scarce here as handsome cabs. We're a covey of old women. There's only the nuns down at the priory and us.
Oh, what about the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, don't they call?
Oh, yeah. But they're all old. Everybody's old on the marsh. The young uns all go off to London or foreign parts or something as soon as they can.
Are you going off to foreign parts?
Well, it depends if anyone ever asks me.
I shouldn't think with eyes like that you'd have any difficulty.
Oh, go on.
What's your name?
Lucy. Who are you?
I'm Albert, Miss Creed's nephew.
Funny. I've never heard about you.
Oh, that must be remedied. How about making the most of a male fish now one's been washed up? We'll have a kiss.
No, you mustn't. I don't know you.
You don't have to know people to kiss them.
I do.
Right, my girl. That's your loss.
You do think a lot of yourself, don't you?
Not enough.
Has Lucy been entertaining you, Albert?
Oh, we had a word or two.
Nice looker, isn't she?
Oh, I didn't notice.
Oh, come, Albert. Don't lose your sense of humour. I hope you're not one of those people who won't learn from experience. Otherwise, my £12 may be rather wasted. Oh,
don't you worry, Miss Fisk. I've had my lesson.
Well, I hope so. This is where we keep our hoard, at the back of the old bakery.
Hey,
copper tomb, isn't it?
Yes, it runs the full width of the chimney. Of course, it hasn't been used for years. When I came here, I found this whole hearth walled up with a hideous little mantelpiece and a cast iron grate. Now then, Albert, £12, I think you said.
I suppose you couldn't make it 15.
No, I couldn't. Here you are.
Do I give you an IOU?
No, thank you, Albert. This isn't a loan. I shouldn't like you to incur the remorse of not paying it back, so let's forget all about it. I shan't mention your call to Aunt Ellen.
Oh, I'd be very grateful if you wouldn't. What about the girl?
I'll see to that, too.
I'll never forget your kindness as long as I live.
Oh, I hope you live much longer than that. Well, you'd better be off.
Yes. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Albert. Young monkey. Lucy, come here a moment.
Yes, miss?
Lucy, you met the young gentleman who's just gone, didn't you?
Yes, miss.
Did you like him?
I thought he was a very affable young gentleman, miss.
Yes, though plausible might be a better description. He's been in a little trouble and I've helped him. Now, I don't want to worry Miss Creed about it, so we'd better not say he's been here. Do you understand?
Yes, miss.
That's all. Thank you, Lucy.
Very good, miss.
Darling, you oughtn't to be standing there by the window. The wind's turning quite cold. Now, put your shawl on.
Don't be cross with me, Ellen. I'm so happy looking through my telescope. It must be quite rough on the river. Do you see the waves?
Yes.
I suppose the summer's quite gone now.
Yes, darling. Is that Emily coming over the marsh?
Just a moment while I turn the telescope round. Oh, yes, it is. Her apron's loaded. She brings in such pretty things. Perhaps I shall be able to do the same when I've stayed here longer.
I'm sure you will, darling.
This is what you always promised us. A little house in the country, and you and Emily and me in it together.
Yes, dear. That's the one thing I've schemed for ever since we had to give up the old house. And Miss Fisk has been very kind to us.
May I tell you something, Ellen?
Yes.
Just one of my secrets.
Of course, darling.
I don't like Miss Fisk. Can't we send her away? Then it would be really just the three of us.
But I keep telling you, Louisa, it's her house.
Oh, no, Ellen, you'll never make me believe that. You've always had your own house. I don't want to be sent back to Kennington, to those awful ugly streets and nothing to look at from the window.
Darling, I've promised you I won't send you back.
Well, I think Miss Fisk wants us both to go, Emily and me.
But, darling, I'm sure I can persuade her to let you stay.
Oh, yes, Ellen, I'm sure you can. You can do anything. Oh, here she is.
I've just been down to the Priory. Look what the Reverend Mother's given me.
Oh, what beautiful pears. Look, Louisa.
They're from that tree by the pond.
Oh, the one that looks so lovely in the spring.
Yes.
Oh, I shall like to see that.
I wish you could. What have you been doing today?
I've been resting and looking at things through my telescope. I'm not very brave. I don't go out in the streets. Well, that's why I like being here. It's so lovely and safe.
I don't know what you'll do when you go back to London, then.
But I'm not going back to London.
Aren't you?
Oh, that's just Louisa's way of telling you how much she's enjoying it here.
Yes, I am enjoying it.
That telescope has been such a pleasure to her, Leonora. She's never had much opportunity of using it before.
Yes. Oh, it's a beautiful instrument, isn't it, Miss Fisk?
Yes.
It belonged to the man I was going to marry. He was the captain of a sailing ship. It was lost in a typhoon and they were all drowned. He hadn't taken this with him on his last voyage, and his sister gave it to me. I've kept it ever since.
Oh, dear. What a tragic story.
But it's so long ago, I've almost forgotten what he looked like.
I must put these pears in the kitchen. We'll have them for supper.
Oh, there you are, Emily.
Oh, dear. Oh, I am tired. I've walked miles.
Now, what have you found this time, darling?
Oh, just driftwood. There's such a lot, and it's so heavy to carry, but I enjoy it. I feel I must tidy up the river banks, but every tide washes up something fresh.
I'm afraid you've set yourself a labor of Hercules.
I knew you'd laugh, Ellen. You always do, but I hate waste. And I have done something for my board and lodging, haven't I? Well, and look at the stack of wood I've collected out there for you, Ellen.
Yes, and I'm sure Miss Fisk is very grateful.
She's never said anything, not that I want anything.
It's Ellen who should thank you. It's Ellen's house.
Louisa cannot get it into her head that this house doesn't belong to me.
Oh, I expect it will someday. She'll leave it to you. You'll see.
Oh, what pretty shells. And a lovely dead bird.
Oh, yes. I found it lying on this seaweed. Isn't it lovely?
Oh, my goodness. More wood. Oh, it's very nice of you, Miss Emily, but I do wish you'd take it round to the back door. It makes such a mess in here.
Well, Emily wanted to show us what she's found, Miss Fisk. Besides, she was very tired.
Now, don't worry about it, Leonora. I'll clear it up.
No, Ellen, you do far too much as it is. Put it down, Ellen. Miss Fisk, couldn't we ask the maid?
No. It's my business. After all, I've carried it for more than a mile across the marsh.
Now, give it to me.
No, Ellen, you do far too much as it is. Put it down, Ellen.
Well, I don't think we need have a tug of war about it. Lucy?
My sister's not as strong as she thinks. And she's always doing things for other people.
Yes, miss?
Oh, Lucy, take that wood through into the shed, please. And bring Miss Emily a dustpan and brush. I think we should all clean up our own messes, don't you?
But that's what I wanted to do before Ellen started interfering.
Oh, it was my fault.
Now, please, don't start that all over again. And don't stand about, Lucy. Hurry up and fetch that dustpan.
Yes, miss.
Oh, Ellen, really? This is too bad. All these shells of wet seaweed. Oh, and a dead bird.
Oh, no.
On my best walnut table. Oh, it'll take a month's hard polishing to put it right.
I'll do it. I'll polish it every day, all through the winter.
That's very kind of you, Miss Louisa. I'm afraid you won't be here all through the winter.
Oh, but we shall. Ellen says so.
You've made a mistake, Louisa. I said nothing of the kind.
But you did. You promised.
Louisa.
It's my fault, Miss Fisk. I brought in the shells and the seabirds. They're my treasures. However, I see that my humble little fires are only starting a quarrel, so they'd better be just taken away.
Here's the dustpan, miss.
Thank you, Lucy. Now, get on with tea.
Yes, miss. It's nearly ready.
I think I'd better go up to Emily, Ellen. She was crying.
No. Go up to your own room if you like, but don't disturb Emily.
Very well, Ellen.
I'm sorry I was so put out, Ellen. There is a limit to patience, you know.
It's I who should have apologized.
Nonsense, dear. I mustn't expect you to be responsible for your sisters.
But I am responsible for them.
Yes.
I've always looked after them, just as if they were my children. What would become of them if I didn't?
Yes, but you must show a sense of proportion in dealing with them. I mean, for one thing, they're not quite normal, are they?
Well, I know they're simple-minded, but they're not mad. Oh, it's just that they've never grown up properly.
I dare say they're harmless. At least I hope so. You may be used to them, but I find them impossible to have about the house.
Well, they have been a little bit naughty today, I admit. But I'll give them a good talking to, and then everything will be all right.
That won't do, Ellen. I'm trying to tell you as kindly as I can that they've got to go.
To go? When?
At once. This week. I cannot stand them any longer.
I don't know how I shall break it to them.
But, my dear Ellen, I only invited them here for a few weeks. Didn't they understand that? They've been here nearly 4 months. No. And I don't think you've been quite fair to me. You never told me that they were, well,
what they are. I told you they are rather pathetic.
Yes, my dear, but pathetic is not next door to insane.
They're not insane.
Well, insane or pathetic or whatever you choose to call it,
I won't have them here any longer. It's your house.
I know.
But you'll have to give me a little time.
Why?
I didn't keep on their room.
But, my dear, you knew they weren't coming here on a visit for life.
But I didn't want the expense. I hoped you might take to them.
I was going to suggest that I should pay you something out of my wages towards their keep.
Oh, where were you? And is that why Louisa made that odd remark just now?
What odd remark?
That Jude promised her she should stay through the winter.
Oh, I never promised her. I just thought we might have gone on as we were for a little longer.
Well, I hope now you realize we can't. This little holiday has come to an end.
You make me feel my position very much. I suppose you want me to go too?
My dear Ellen, of course not. I think of you as my only friend. Mine is a lonely existence. I've no family, no relations. Why, if I were to disappear tomorrow, no one would be any the wiser. So you see, I value your companionship. I definitely don't want you to go.
Well, I'm afraid it won't be altogether easy to forget what you think about my sisters. Or that you turned them out when they were so happy.
But I haven't turned them out. Their visit has just come to its end in a normal way.
Well, things can never be quite the same, can they?
Ellen, don't you realize you're being very unreasonable? I've been more than generous to you and your sisters.
People have always been very generous to you, Leonora. My sisters and I, we haven't any gentlemen to send us money.
Well, it's hardly my fault, is it?
No. But don't you ever feel that you have a special responsibility to women like us?
I don't know what you mean.
But don't you owe a debt to virtue? I've had to work for the money I've made, Leonora, but at least I've kept my self-respect.
How dare you criticize my life? How can you, a dried-up old spinster, how can you understand anything of what my life's been? Do you think I don't envy women who've got respectabilities, who've got families, who aren't just forgotten or pinch them off and then lose their stock in trade?
Then you can't blame me for fighting for my family.
Ellen, you are a frightful hypocrite. It wasn't friendship you felt for me. You wanted to foist your wretched brood on me and to bleed me white. And when I saw through your little scheme, you had the insolence to turn on me and abuse me. But you've chosen the wrong woman. I suggest you take a month's wages and go.
Leonora, don't go like that. Please. I didn't mean half what I said. I'm dreadfully sorry.
I should hope you are.
You're quite right about my sisters. They are peculiar. But you see, I love them intensely just because they are so helpless. But I do see they can't stay here. I'll send them away. And I promise everything shall be the same as before. Only, please, don't send me away too.
Well, I think we'd better both sleep on it, Ellen. I am going to bed.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Oh, Ellen, we've been listening. Oh, isn't she wicked, Ellen? Are you going to send us away? You promised you wouldn't.
No, I'm not going to send you away.
She spoils everything. I wish she could go.
Oh, but Ellen, if you're not going to send us away, what are you going to
do? I don't know. I shall have to think.
Oh, dear Ellen. Always so clever.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this box is heavy.
Oh, yes. Oh, we managed it very well.
We couldn't have carried it down so easily when we first came here. Oh, I expect it's moving all those bricks and things. Mm. It's got our muscles up. Oh, my goodness. I feel an awful sight.
Your hair's all crooked.
Oh, why not say me wink slipped and have done with it? Be quite alone.
Now, here, let me put it straight for you.
Thank you.
No. There. Mm. That's better.
Ah, just like being in a dressing room again. It only wants the smell of the grease paint and a nice pair of tights. Though I don't think that my ankles would run to them now, do you?
Look, now, time is getting on. We'd better get this box of theirs hidden in the scullery before they get back from their walk.
All right, then you take that end. Mm. Oh, goodness, it is a weight. You must have got half the force oar in it.
We'll put it behind the door. Here. Oh, that's right.
Oh, thank goodness that's done. Ah, there's the Priory bell. It must be 6 o'clock. Bates will be here in a minute.
Oh, I thought we wouldn't have Bates, Leonora.
Why not?
Well, he talks so. When I went into Rochester on Wednesday, I arranged for a fly at the station to come out.
Oh,
What am I to do about their box?
Well, let Bates take it to the station tomorrow and have it labelled through to London Bridge. I'll pick it up there in the evening. It'll be quite handy. I've got a room for them in the borough.
I see. You're a regular Machiavelli, aren't you?
Well, isn't it much kinder this way? I mean, for them to think they're going for a drive, and then before they know where they are, I shall have them whisk them into the train.
And when am I to expect you back?
Well, I think I'd better stay over the weekend and get them settled in. They'll take a lot of settling.
Yes, I should. Don't hurry back on my account. I shall be quite all right.
I hate the idea of your being alone here. I almost wish you hadn't let Lucy go on her holiday.
But, my dear, it was your idea that you shouldn't postpone it.
Oh, I was afraid that if she were here when Louisa and Emily went, we mightn't have been able to conceal our little plan from them. And then there'd have been a scene.
We may not be clear of scenes yet. Suppose they go up to their rooms and find all their things vanished.
Oh, but there's no reason for them to go upstairs again. I saw to it that they were dressed for the journey before I sent them out.
Ellen, dear, before they come back, I want to give you something from the oven here. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that this is going to put you to a lot of expense. Now, here are 10 sovereigns. That'll pay for your journey and a few weeks' rent and one or two little comforts to make up for their disappointments.
You're much too kind.
I'm so glad we made everything up. I hate quarrelling. I've got a very hot temper, but it soon evaporates.
I wish I were made that way.
I'm very fond of you, Ellen. So far as I'm concerned, you can stay here for the rest of your life.
Thank you, Leonora.
Well, as we're servantless, I'd better go and see about my supper.
Oh, there's nothing to be cooked. I've left everything ready.
Ah, yes, but as I'm all by myself, I think I shall get up a bottle of that champagne Lord Kennardington sent me for Christmas.
I believe you're going to celebrate my sister's going.
I don't mind telling you, Ellen, I am. This is the first time I shall be able to call my house my own for months.
It'll be the first time you've slept here alone, too, won't it?
I don't suppose that will worry me, with a pint of bubbly inside me.
Yeah. Well, I've made a salad, and there's a cold partridge and some cream cheese from the convent.
A bird, cream cheese, champagne. It only wants the right setting. A private room at a discreet little restaurant, candlelit, distant music, and someone's foot pressing yours very lightly under the table. Oh, my goodness, Ellen, what am I talking about? Why haven't you stopped me? Oh, I'm in a crazy mood today. Ah, here are your sisters now coming up the path. Ellen, I believe in your heart you're glad to be rid of them too. Though, of course, you'll never admit it.
How nice it is to be indoors again. I wish I weren't going for this drive. It's getting quite evening, and I don't like the long shadows.
But a September evening's the most beautiful time of the year, Louisa, and there's nothing to be afraid of. I'm coming with you.
Is Miss Fisk coming too?
No, you'll be just by yourselves.
I think I'll go up and get into an easier pair of boots. These pinch me rather.
No, Arthur. You sit down. I'll run up and get them.
Ellen's in one of her bossy moods today, isn't she, Emily? I think she's got something on her mind.
I wonder if we are just going for a drive. I wonder if she's sending us away.
Oh, don't say that, Emily. Oh, I do hope it's not true.
If Ellen tries to send me away, I shan't go.
I think that you are both imagining much too much.
Yes, I don't think Ellen would deceive us.
Oh, what's become of your telescope, Louisa? It isn't on the windowsill.
Isn't it? Oh, it was there when I went out.
Ellen took it out into the kitchen. I think she was going to clean it.
But I always do that myself. I believe it's been broken. I must get it. I must have it.
I promise you it has not been broken. Now, if you'll wait here, I'll get it for you.
No, I wish to get it.
I'm sorry, but you can't.
Why shouldn't Louisa get it herself?
Because it happens to be my kitchen and Miss Louisa my guest.
But I want to...
Please, sit down, Miss Louisa. Don't you realize you're making the most ridiculous scene about absolutely nothing?
Oh, it's broken. I know it's broken.
Do stop crying. Here comes Ellen.
Now, here are your boots, Emily.
Thank you, Ellen.
Oh, Ellen. Someone's broken my telescope.
Oh, no, dear. I don't think they can have.
But why did you take it into the kitchen?
I didn't.
Oh, there, Emily. She was lying.
Who?
Miss Fisk, she said you'd take it into the kitchen to clean it.
She's gone to fetch it now. I knew you wouldn't.
Oh, of course. It's quite all right, darling. I'd forgotten. I did take it out.
You're only humouring me because you know it's broken.
Nonsense, Louisa. Stop being silly.
Use your telescope, Miss Louisa. You see, it's as right as ninepence.
Oh, thank you, Miss Fisk. I am glad to have it. But it hasn't been cleaned.
I haven't had time to do it yet.
Miss Louisa was so agitated, I believe you thought that I was going to steal it, Ellen.
Oh, it was just a lot of fuss about nothing, wasn't it, Louisa?
Yes, dear. I was very silly. But it's not nothing to me.
Ellen, I'm going up to my room for a few minutes. Call me when the fly comes. I'd like to see you all off.
There's no need for you to trouble. We shall be back in 2 hours, shan't we?
Well, I'd like to make sure that you start comfortably.
Emily says that we're not really going for a drive, that you're sending us away for good. That's not true, is it, Ellen?
Of course it's not true. Now, what made you think that, Emily? You are coming back.
You see, Miss Fisk doesn't like us. And she's been so different lately, so friendly, almost as if she knew she were getting rid of us. She seemed very anxious to come and say goodbye to us.
We may be saying goodbye to her.
What do you mean, Ellen?
Now, I want you to keep a little secret. Will you promise me?
Yes. I promise.
You too, Emily?
All right. I promise.
You love this house, don't you?
Oh, yes, Ellen.
Well, I am going to try and persuade her to sell it to me.
Oh, how clever, Ellen. Then she could go away and live somewhere else.
But supposing she wants too much money for it, Ellen, she may want more than you're prepared to pay.
I'm prepared to pay quite a big price, Emily.
I didn't think you had all that much money.
I've saved quite a lot.
Oh, it will be lovely, if it can be ours. When will you know? When will you ask her?
I'm going to ask her today. That's one of the reasons for the drive. I want to tackle her by myself.
But you're coming out with us.
Oh, only as far as the Priory. Then I shall get out and slip back. And you'll go on for your drive round.
We mustn't be away too long. I shall be so anxious to know.
I want you to give me at least 2 hours. It can't be done in 5 minutes. I want to get it all fixed up before you come back.
But why should you come with us at all, Ellen?
I want to call at the convent to get the Reverend Mother on our side. She has great influence with Miss Fisk.
How clever you are, Ellen. I should never have thought of that.
Now, look. Here's a Bible. I want you both to put your hands on it and swear on Father's memory that you'll never repeat what I've told you about buying the house as long as you live.
I promise.
You too, Emily.
I won't swear on the Bible. It's wicked.
If you won't promise me, Emily, I shan't buy the house, and I shall send you both back to London.
Oh, Ellen, not that, please. Emily, do be sensible.
Very well. But I don't like being made to do things. I promise.
Oh, dear, what's that?
Oh, it's the carriage. We're just coming. Now, come along, my darling.
Oh, wouldn't it be lovely if when we came back, we found that you'd bought the house and she'd gone.
Will you be quiet?
Oh, don't be cross with me, Ellen.
You have just sworn on the Bible never to mention it again.
I'm sorry. I thought it didn't count when we were together.
She might have overheard you, Louisa, and that would have spoiled everything. It's better for us not to discuss it, even amongst ourselves.
Whatever you say, Ellen.
Yes.
Here's the carriage. I do hope you all have a nice drive.
Now, come along.
It will be fun, won't it, Emily?
Goodbye.
Make the most of it.
Goodbye.
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 Oh, thank God for that. Oh, he's going to marry. Yum, 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 yum. Lovely to have the house of himself. Here is to you, Leonora, my girl. Oh, nothing like bubbly to make your eyes sparkle, as Harry Kennardington used to say. I won't eat yet. I'll have supper at a civilized hour for a change. No more high tea with the old girls in the kitchen. Sir, I'll have some music. Where's that? Yes.
On a tree by a river, a little tom tit sang willow tit, willow tit, willow.
And I said to him, Dickie Bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit, willow, tit, willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a wrong?
I've got a roaring fire.
Oh, you need it this weather.
Oh, I didn't know anyone was here.
Good evening.
Are you waiting to see my sister?
Yes. I understand Miss Fisk's still away.
Oh, yes. About 2 months now.
For the moment, I thought maybe she was back when I saw the candles there alight in her little altar.
Well, Ellen's taken to lighting them. She likes to do it because she thinks Miss Fisk would have liked her to. She says it keeps her memory burning.
Ah, no, a very kind thought of your sister's.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, sister, but we're in the middle of making our quince jam.
Oh, please, you mustn't apologize. I've been chatting very happily to your sister here.
Oh?
Well, I'm here with a request, I'm afraid. Our supply of oil hasn't arrived from Rochester. I suppose the storm has prevented them coming. We've absolutely run out, and I just wondered if I might borrow a can over the weekend.
Of course.
We'll pay you back as soon as our supply arrives. I'm sure it'll be here on Monday.
Oh, that's quite all right. We have plenty. Louisa, go into the scullery and bring me one of those gallon cans of paraffin.
Yes, all right, Ellen.
Oh, it's very peaceful here, sitting in this lovely chimney corner. Oh, no. Is this one of the old bake ovens?
Yes. We don't use it now, though.
I think it's a very nice thought of yours to keep Miss Fisk's candles alight while she's away.
Oh. Did Louisa tell you about that?
Oh, well, I'm afraid I asked her. I thought, when I saw them, that Miss Fisk might be home.
Oh, no.
When are you expecting her back? We miss her so much at the convent.
I don't know. I haven't heard from her very recently.
Mm. Is she in London?
Oh, she went to London to begin with, then she was going on, elsewhere.
I've got the oil, Ellen.
Oh, now, you can't carry this and your lantern and your umbrella, can you, sister? I'll get Lucy to go down with you.
Oh, no, you shouldn't bother yourself.
Lucy?
Yes, miss?
I want you to go down to the priory with the sister. I'll watch the jam.
Very good, miss.
You will excuse me if I say goodnight, won't you, sister?
Ah, but of course. You have been kind. Thank you so much.
Good night.
I think you're so brave going out in the dark. I hate the dark. I'm always glad when morning comes.
Oh, I never worry about little things like that. I believe we're watched over.
I think that, too. But I'm never quite sure who's watching us.
Oh, I didn't know anyone was here.
This is my sister, Emily.
Good evening.
Well, it isn't a very good one, is it?
Well, it is a bit wild. But then we must expect this in November.
I'm quite ready, sister. Here's your umbrella.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. Well, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I think that nun is rather a nice woman. Ellen seems to like her, too.
I think Ellen's changing. I wonder why she's taken to lighting those candles on the altar. I think I'll blow them out.
Well, you mustn't, Emily. Ellen wouldn't like that.
Why should Ellen have everything her own way?
Oh, Emily, what have you done?
Something I wanted to do.
That must be Lucy. She's back soon.
Why, did it now with Emily? Or is it Aunt Louisa? Well,
I
look so scared, I can't eat you.
Who are you?
I'm Albert.
Oh.
Albert Feather.
It's Albert, Louisa, Rosa's boy.
So he is. Oh, come in, Albert. Oh, you are wet. We must tell Ellen you're here. Will you tell her, Emily?
No. You tell her.
I heard a man's voice. Who is it?
It's our nephew, Ellen. It's Albert.
Albert? What on earth are you doing here?
I've walked over from Gravesend.
What, tonight?
It was fine when I started.
You must be so true.
I'll soon get dry. This fire will do the trick.
Now give me your coat and overcoat. That's right. Now take them into the kitchen, Emily, and hang them in front of the stove. And watch the jam until Lucy gets back.
Oh, very well.
And Louisa, you run up to the front bedroom and bring down that pink dressing gown. It's only a woman's, Albert, but it'll be better than nothing.
Will it matter?
Why should it?
Suppose she sends for it one day.
Why on earth didn't you write and tell me you were coming, you silly boy?
I'll tell you all about it when I'm dry outside and not so dry in.
You always were a good one at hinting. I'll get you something to eat, Albert.
Oh, thanks, Aunt. Watch you, Lucy.
Oh? So you've turned up again.
Yeah. Bad pennies do, you know. Tell me, Lucy, is Miss Fisk about?
No, she's away.
It's a bit of luck. Listen, does my Aunt Ellen know I blew over last summer?
Well, not that I know of. Miss Fisk told me not to say anything.
Good. Then I might be all right. Shh, here's one of the old girls. We don't know each other, remember? Not that we shan't later.
I'm very particular, who I know.
Here's the dressing gown, Albert. Now see if it fits.
I say, don't I look a peach? Oh, ta-ra-ra-bum-ti, eh? Ta-ra-ra-bum-ti, eh? Ta-ra-ra-bum-ti, eh? Ta-ra-ra-bum-ti,
eh? Why is your making?
Aunt Emily, may I have the pleasure?
Oh, Albert! Albert, let me go!
Now, Albert, behave. Here's your food.
Oh, my word, Aunt Ellen, what a spread. Cold beef and a bottle of... Hey, cognac. 1830? Where did you pinch this, Auntie?
Louisa, go and get him a glass. No, bring two. I think I'll have a little to keep him company.
And pass me a couple of those egg cups. You and Aunt Emily must wet your whistles, too. You don't have a nephew here every night of the week. Now, here's your ration, Aunt Ellen. And a thimbleful for the belle of the ball, Miss Emily Creed. And here's yours, Miss Louisa.
Oh, Ellen, isn't it funny? I shall die.
Now then, girls, down the hatch.
Now, Albert, settle down and eat your supper. And you be off to bed, Emily and Louisa.
I don't want to go to bed.
Oh, do let her sit up and talk to Albert, Ellen.
No, my darling. Too much excitement isn't good for you. You'll be able to talk to Albert in the morning. I want to talk to him now.
Go on, be good little girls. Toddle off to bye-bye.
Oh, very well. I suppose we must.
Good night, Albert.
Wait a minute. Who put those candles out?
What candles, Ellen? Oh, those.
It must have been the wind.
It wasn't the wind, Ellen.
I must relight them. I do this for a friend, Albert. There. I suppose you want to stay the night.
Well, actually, I was wondering if you could put me up for a little longer.
Well, you'll have to shake down on the sofa in here for tonight. Tomorrow we can get the front room ready for you. Why have you been so long in coming to see me?
Oh, I never had any time, Auntie.
Then how do you come to have it now?
Well, this is a compulsory holiday, you might say.
What? Have you lost your situation at the bank?
I've given it up.
Oh, you foolish boy. Have you got another job?
Afraid I haven't.
Well, you won't find one here, will you? We're right out in the wild.
I know. That's why I've come.
Albert, you haven't... done anything wrong, have you?
Not exactly wrong, Auntie. I just helped myself to a little salary I wasn't entitled to.
Do you mean you've taken money from the bank?
You've got it, Auntie.
But if you were so desperate, why didn't you come to me? I could always have found you a few pounds.
A few pounds wouldn't have seen me through it.
Can the money be put back, or have they found out?
They've found out. They've set the police on me.
The police? Oh, but they're bound to search. They'll come here.
No one knows I've got relations here. I didn't meet a soul coming over the marshes. If you let me stay for a week or two, then I can get out of the country and start afresh. I don't care where. I wondered if you'd advance me passage money. It wouldn't cost much steerage.
I suppose that's the only thing I can do.
I'll follow the jam, miss.
Thank you, Lucy. Now you'd better be off to bed. Oh, there'll be one more for breakfast in the morning.
Yes, miss. Good night. Good night, sir.
Good night, Lucy, isn't it? I shall sleep better tonight than I've slept for weeks.
Albert, you have told me the worst, haven't you? There isn't anything else.
What else?
Well, there are worse things than stealing.
Do you mean if I put someone to sleep? Oh, good heavens, no, I'm too scared. Putting people out calls for real nerve, you know.
Yes.
I'm sorry to be such a bird of ill omen.
Oh, never mind. I dare say it's Providence. Good night, Albert.
Good night, Aunt Ellen.
Good night.
I thought she'd never go. Now, I wonder if my keys will fit the padlock on your oven, old girl, because... Yeah. Well, I'm blowed. It's all bricked up. Now, why should anyone want to do that? Good morning, Lucy.
I've brought your shaving water, Mr. Albert, and the mirror.
Ta. And what about a good morning kiss?
I oughtn't to let you.
Oh, just one. Give me another.
Oh, no. That's quite enough for one Sunday morning. Now, you get on with your shaving. Miss Emily will come down and catch us.
Ah, forgotten she's not at chapel with the others. But don't go. Stay and talk to me. Tell me, what have you got those bars over the window for? They're new, aren't they?
Well, Miss Creed had them put up after Miss Fiss went away 2 months ago.
Where's she gone?
I don't know. I didn't know she was going, even. I was on my holiday, and when I came back, she was gone. Funny, wasn't it?
Oh, perhaps she and Aunt Ellen had a row.
Oh, but then it would be for your aunt to go. It's Miss Fifth's house.
Yeah. She'll turn up one day.
Well, Miss Ellen can't be expecting her just yet, because you're to have Miss Fifth's room as long as you're staying. I've just been getting it ready.
Hey, by the way, have you got a bit of black wire?
Whatever for?
See this padlock on the oven?
Yeah?
I was fooling about with it last night, and it came open. I couldn't get it shut again.
Oh, you oughtn't to have done that. That's where Miss Fiss keeps her money.
Oh, no. You're wrong there, Ducky. There's only a wall behind there.
Oh, that's all you know. It's an old bake oven.
Bake oven, my foot. Look.
Well, I never. It's been bricked up. I wonder when that was done.
When did you last see it open?
When I was going on my holiday. Miss Fiss gave me my money out of it.
Yeah, that's where the money used to be kept. It wouldn't do for it to look as though I'd been playing about with it, would it? I mean, people think nasty thoughts sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, and sometimes they're right, aren't they? I'll get that wire.
Hey, and bring a pair of pliers if you've got them. It only wants a small bit. I don't want it to show. I wonder why anyone should want to brick up a place like that.
Oh, Miss Fiss probably put her jewels in there before she went away.
Yeah. Yeah, I dare say you're right. I wouldn't mind having a peep at those jewels. Pity you need a pickaxe to get at them.
Why, whatever's the matter, Mr. Albert?
Don't open it. Look out of the window, see who it is, and come tell me first.
It's for Miss Fiss from her bank. See the
request on the envelope. Why were you so scared?
I wasn't scared. I'd forgotten you had a Sunday post.
I believe you're hiding from the police.
You wouldn't think any the less of me for that, would you?
Oh, that depends.
Here, give us a kiss.
Oh, look out. Miss Emily's coming downstairs.
Good morning, Aunt Emily. How is it you're not at chapel?
I had a headache.
Aha, Aunt Ellen's cognac too much for you.
Wasn't Ellen's, it was Miss Fisk.
Oh, don't say Miss Fisk would have begrudged it to us.
Don't know. I never liked her.
And what you got there?
Oh, it's just some boxes. I stick shells on them. Pretty, aren't they?
They're very. By the way, there's a letter just come for Miss Fisk. It wants readdressing. Shall I do it?
Well, I don't know her address. Better put it on the table. Look, I've enough shells for 3 more boxes.
Ah. You like living in this house, don't you?
Yes, I do.
What's going to happen to you when Miss Fisk comes back? Will she let you stay on?
She isn't coming back. Ellen's bought the house.
Go on.
It's quite true, but it's a secret. Ellen made me swear on the Bible I wouldn't tell anyone, but you're one of the family, so it's different.
Why did Aunt Ellen want to keep it a secret?
Well, I don't know. It was all done in a great hurry. Aunt Louisa and I were sent out for a long drive, and when we came back, it was all over, and Miss Fisk had gone. You won't tell Ellen I told you, will you?
No. We'll make that our little secret, shall we?
Yes. It's rather fun to have a secret Ellen doesn't know anything about. She always thinks she's the clever one, but she isn't. Not always. I'll tell you another secret, Albert. No, I won't.
Why not? Didn't you say I was one of the family?
Well, I think Ellen's done something that's not quite right.
Why?
Because she's looked so worried lately, and I've heard her walking about the house very late at night, and when it gets dark, she lights those horrid little candles on the altar. She's never used to do anything like that. It's only since Miss Fisk's been gone. Do you think she hasn't really bought the house?
Well, if she hasn't, it's rather a large article to steal, isn't it?
There might be ways of getting it.
What sort of ways?
I don't know, Albert. I haven't thought.
Who's that?
Why, it's a nun. Where's she blown from?
She'll be from the Priory. Will you open the door to her, Albert? I don't like nuns.
All right.
Good morning. Isn't Ellen Creed in?
And no, she's gone over to the chapel. I'm her nephew. Can I do anything?
Well, I came up to repay this oil that you lent us last night. Ours arrived this morning, and the Reverend Mother just wanted you to have it back as soon as we got it.
Oh, I'll take it.
No, no. I'll take it, Albert. I know where it's kept.
Did you know Miss Fisk well, who owned this place?
Oh, yes. But she still does, doesn't she?
Oh, yes.
Oh, we all know her at the convent. She's a dear friend of ours.
I've only met her once. She seemed a very agreeable lady. I suppose you've no idea when she'll be back.
No. Well, as a matter of fact, we didn't know that she was going away. I think the Reverend Mother's been a little hurt that Miss Fisk hasn't written to her. But perhaps I oughtn't to say that.
Oh, why not? It's a free country.
Oh, by the way, I hear that the main roads from Rochester and Gravesend are underwater by the marsh. So we're quite cut off. We may be for some days.
Well, that won't worry me.
Perhaps not. Morning.
Good morning.
Miss Emily told me to tell you she's gone out for a walk.
Good. I say, Dux, got a kettle boiling out there?
Well, perhaps I have. What do you want it for?
Bring it in here, then I'll show you.
Oh, all right.
Miss Leonora Fisk Estuary House. I should have thought she let the bank know she was away.
Here you are. What do you want to do?
I want to have a look at something.
What?
This letter that came from the bank for Miss Fisk this morning. I'm going to have a look what's inside.
You can't go opening other people's letters.
Did you like Miss Fisk?
Oh, yes. She's a kind lady. She's been very generous to me.
Me too. She got me out of a bit of trouble and I owe her a debt of gratitude.
Oh, it's a funny way to pay it. Opening her private letters.
It might not be. I'm a little worried. Here, hold the lid of the kettle, will you?
Look, if you're going to steam open that letter, I'm not going to be a party to it.
If there's nothing startling in it, well, we've done no harm, have we? We can seal it up again.
Yeah, but you...
On the other hand, if there is something, we're doing a service to Miss Fisk, aren't we?
Oh, hurry up, then. They'll be back from chapel soon.
There. That's done it. Now, what do they say? Dear Madam, read your letter instructing us to forward the amount of the enclosed cheque in £5 notes to the payee. Your signature appears to differ from that with which we're acquainted. I shall be obliged if you'll kindly confirm the same by signing it afresh in your usual manner. So £50. Hey, do you notice the date?
November the 14th.
I thought she went away in September.
Oh, she may have written the cheque from wherever she is, mayn't she?
Then why have they written back to her here? Do you notice who the cheque's made payable to?
Miss Ellen Creed. Well, what of it? I suspect it's the housekeeping money.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, we'd better cover up our tracks, hadn't we? Just dip your finger in Aunt Emily's glue, will you?
I'm not doing anything about it.
Aren't you? Give me your hand.
Oh, no! Oh, you filthy pig! Oh, you made my fingers all sticky.
Now then, seal it up.
Look, it's horrible.
That's right.
You don't.
And we'll stand it up real on the dresser. It'll soon dry.
You won't give me away to Miss Creed, will you?
Not so long as you keep your mouth shut about me.
Oh.
Yeah, hello, here come the performing seals. Quick, take that kettle out into the kitchen.
Oh, all right, Albert.
Hello, Aunt, had a nice pray.
There's no need to be facetious, Albert.
It would have done you good to come too, Albert. It was quite exciting. The minister was telling us all about hell.
Well, I'm afraid I can't take hell very seriously, old girl. After all, if there is such a place, no one's ever come back from it.
Hell's like the kingdom of heaven. It's within.
You must have got that out of a book, Auntie. What's an innocent old cup of tea like you ever done to know anything about hell?
But, Albert, Ellen's clever. She knows about all sorts of things. She may know about hell, too.
You don't say. We'll have to christen you Hellfire Ellen.
Albert, I won't have you talking like this in my house on a Sunday.
Oh, sorry, I'm sure. Oh, by the way, Auntie, a nun called while you were out, asking for a Miss Fisk.
Oh? Louisa... run upstairs and take off your coat, dear. You won't want to sit about in it all day.
No, I shan't, shall I, Ellen? No, of course.
Who is this, Miss Fisk? Everybody's always mentioning.
Oh, she's just someone who used to live here. I'd rather you didn't mention her again in front of your aunts, Albert. They quarrelled and it excites them very much to talk about her.
Oh, I wouldn't like to do that. What did you quarrel about, Auntie?
I didn't say that I quarrelled with her.
Oh. Oh, then I suppose she's the friend you lighted those candles for last night.
Yes, she's that friend.
You must have been very fond of her. When did she die?
Die? Who said she was dead?
Oh, I just assumed she was. You don't light candles for the living, do you?
Oh, why not? I thought candles just stood for prayers.
Oh, you may be right. I'm not up in the technique. I say, fancy the old birds driving Miss Fisk out of here for good.
But we don't know that it is for good. She's away on a holiday. She may come back. But I expect you'll be gone by then.
I hope so. I don't fancy many more nights on this sofa. Aunt Ellen, do you believe in ghosts?
No, of course not.
Well, neither do I. At least I thought I didn't. But you know, last night, in the middle of the night, I woke up and... I had a funny feeling that there was someone... in the room with me.
It must have been all that cognac you drank. There are no ghosts in Estuary House.
Oh, well, there aren't any anywhere, are there? Oh, there, if I haven't got a memory like a sieve.
Why, what have you forgot?
This letter. It's for Miss Fisk, from a bank. Gave me quite a turn when I saw it was from a bank. If you'd like to readdress it, I'll take it down to the box. I could do with a breather.
I'm looking after everything for her while she's away. It may be important. I think I'd better open it, don't you?
Oh, why not, if she wouldn't mind.
Huh? Nice piano you've got here, Auntie.
You must excuse me for a moment, Albert. I have to write a note. It's rather urgent.
Oh, don't mind me, Auntie. I'll have a look at your music. I'd say I never expected to find a copy of the Mikado here.
Don't do that.
Oh, sorry, Auntie. I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's not that. I just hate that particular tune.
Oh, do you? I'll find something cheerier. Three little maids from school are we, pert as a schoolgirl well can be, filled to the brim with girlish glee. That might be you and Emily and Louisa, mightn't it?
I've got to run down to the letterbox.
Oh, finished it already? I'll post it for you.
Thank you. I'd rather do it for myself.
Now, I wonder. Hey, Lucy!
What is it now?
Bring us back your mirror, will you?
I should think you'd have got sick of the sight of your face.
Oh, I don't want it for that. I want to read what Aunt Ellen's written to the bank. It's on her blotter, see? The other way about.
You want to do this?
Hold the glass up. Here, listen to this. Dear sir, check something quite correct. Owing to a sprained hand, there may be a discrepancy in some of my checks lately signed. Yours, something, Leonora Fisk.
Your aunt signed Leonora Fisk? What's it mean, Albert?
I shouldn't like to say.
I know. It means she's pretending to be Miss Fisk and stealing money from her bank.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, but she's taking an awful risk. There'll be the juice to pay when Miss Fisk comes back.
Supposing she isn't coming back? Supposing she's died on her holiday and Aunt Helen's the only one who knows.
Oh, but you can't die and only one person know. But I've just thought of something else. When I was getting Miss Fisk's room ready for you this morning, what do you think I found tucked away in the cupboard?
What?
Her best wig.
Eh? Did she wear a wig?
Oh, Lord, yes. A red one. Auburn, they call it. She was nearly bald. Why didn't she take it with her? She rather fancies herself, you know. Why should she go away in her old one?
Has she taken her best clothes?
Oh, I never thought to look.
When I get into that room, we'll have a scout round, and you can give me some idea what's missing.
Why are you so curious about all this?
Look, supposing Miss Fisk is dead, and Aunt Ellen's tapping the funds, there might be a lifetime before anyone finds out, and there might be some nice pickings in it for you and me. Oh. You might do worse than join forces with me. I think you're one of the prettiest pieces I've set eyes on.
I'll help.
Good girl.
Oh, Lord, she's coming up the path. Come out with me. We can talk in the kitchen.
Blotting paper. Lucy, come here.
Yes, miss?
What's your mirror doing in here?
Oh, Mr. Albert borrowed it for his shaving.
Oh, I see. Well, take it back with you and serve dinner.
Yes, miss.
And that's game to me, Louisa, old dear. You owe me 5 farthings, my belle of St. Martin's.
I'm sure you're cheating me, Albert. I thought I'd won.
You shouldn't play for money. You know it's wrong.
But Father always played crib for farthings. Don't you remember, Emily? There can't be any harm in farthings.
Father could afford to play for farthings.
Now, just one more go, my old billabow.
No, I'm not going to play any more. You've got all my farthings, and I'm sure you cheat. Oh.
You're too full of tricks, Albert. You'll be behind bars one day.
Well, talking of bars, we're more or less behind them now, aren't we? I mean, just look at those windows. I suppose those have been up for hundreds of years.
Oh, no, they're quite new. Ellen put them there.
She's afraid of someone breaking in.
Or perhaps she's a miser. Perhaps she comes down here in the middle of the night and counts her gold.
She does come down here in the middle of the night. But I don't think she counts her gold.
Oh, here is Ellen. I'll go and tell Lucy to bring in her supper.
Oh, hello, Aunt. Had a nice trip.
Oh, it was bitterly cold. Oh,
shall I take a glass of something out to the driver?
Yes, all right.
Yeah, that should do him. Hey, driver, something for you.
Ellen, dear, so you're back. Lucy's just bringing your tray.
Thank you. Listen, Louisa, I want to speak to Albert alone. Now, you go along up to bed. You too, Emily.
I don't want to go to bed.
Well, go up to your room anyway. What have you been doing while I've been out?
Albert's been making us laugh.
He never talks to you, does he? About Miss Fisk.
Miss Fisk, Ellen? Mm. No. Why should he?
And you've neither of you told him anything about my buying the house, have you?
Oh, no, Ellen. Don't you remember? You made us swear on the Bible we wouldn't.
I remember.
But it wasn't a Bible, Ellen. It was a prayer book. I found that out afterwards. So it doesn't count. We could tell who we liked, couldn't we?
If I ever find out that either of you breathes a word to a soul about it, I'll pack you both back to London straight away. And I won't send you another penny.
Oh, Ellen.
I'm not going to tell anyone, Ellen. Come along, Louisa. We're not wanted here.
Oh, off to bed already, girls.
Ellen thinks it's time we went. Good night, Albert.
Good night, Albert.
Nighty-night. Sleep tight.
You've been exciting them again, Albert. I can't trust you out of my sight.
Auntie, what have I done?
I'm never sure what you may do.
Oh, there's not much I could do, is there? After all, this isn't a bank. You haven't got any locks to pick, have you?
I've brought you your supper, Miss.
Oh, put it down on the table, Lucy. And then you can go to bed. I'm just going up to take off my things. And wait here, Albert. I've got something I want to say to you.
She's on the rampage tonight. There's a nasty look in her eye.
Wonder where she's been all day.
I asked the driver when I took him that drink. He picked her up at Rochester off the London train.
She'd been to London?
Yeah. I can't understand it. £50 came through from the bank yesterday. I saw her open that registered letter. I wonder if she means to do a bolt. We'll have to try that plan of mine tonight, Lucy.
Oh, I don't like it, you know, Albert. But I can't refuse to do anything. Now, can I?
You'll be all right. All you've got to do is keep thinking of when we'll be married.
Oh,
now, let's go over the plan once more. When she's gone to bed, I'll slip down, open the oven door and play that tune out of the Mikado.
Then I'll slip in, dressed in Miss Fiss wig and best dress, and sit at the piano.
That's it. And after that, we'll see.
You'll never go back on me, will you? You're not just making use of me.
I'm mad about you. Haven't I shown you? She's coming down. You get to your room.
All right, Albert. But I still don't like it.
Good night, Miss.
Good night, Lucy. Now then, Albert.
Well, Auntie.
I've been to London today. I have bought your passage to Canada.
But I don't want to go to Canada.
I don't think you've very much choice, have you?
I'm quite happy here for the time being.
I'm not quite happy having you here.
But I thought we'd agreed. I was to lie low till the Gravesend business blew over. Time enough for a passage abroad in a month or so.
I've changed my mind.
Well, you might have discussed it with me first. What made you change your mind?
Well, in the first place, you play the fool so much with Louisa and Emily that you'll have them chattering about your being here. We shall have the police down on us. I can't do with any scandal.
But surely there's more to it than that, Auntie. There must
yes.
be.
There's Lucy.
Lucy? Why, I've hardly noticed the girl.
Don't lie, Albert. I've watched you whispering together. I've seen her setting her cap at you ever since you came. I'm not going to have that sort of thing going on under my roof.
Well, all I can say, Auntie, is it must be your mind. We're as innocent as the driven snow.
You hateful little hypocrite. Now listen. You'll start tomorrow and I'm coming with you. Bates will be here directly after breakfast to take you to Maidstone.
From there, we'll go by coach to Southampton, and there's a boat leaving for Quebec on Friday. I've got your ticket.
I don't know why you're suddenly so down on me.
I've got to know you better. I've watched you very carefully the last few days. You're not a bit sorry for what you've done. You've demoralized your aunts. Goodness knows what harm you've done to that young girl. And you've nosed about the house and spied on everybody.
I suppose you realize I've never had a chance brought up as I was.
It is no use arguing with me. I've made up my mind.
Does it occur to you that I may not go?
Well, I can always send for the police.
Somehow I got the impression you didn't want the police here.
Does that mean you refuse to go?
Well, I certainly shan't go tomorrow. You can't bluff me.
I'm not bluffing you, Albert. I'm ordering you to go.
Order my foot. There's another reason you haven't mentioned, isn't there? A sounder one.
Yes, there is.
Now we're getting down to brass tacks. It's about Miss Fisk, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I met her in town today. She's coming back.
You met her in town, you say?
Yes. Why shouldn't I?
No reason.
I had to take her some money that came for her.
I got it into my head that she'd gone for good.
Well, who gave you that idea? It's her house. There's never been any question of her not coming back.
Well, in that case, why didn't you tell me straight away I got to go because she was coming back?
Because you'd go blurting it out to your aunts, of course, and it would be fatal if they got to know about it now. But don't you see? It means that they have to go too. They'll be dreadfully upset about it, and I shall have to break it to them very gently.
Ah. Well, there's nothing for it.
No, there isn't.
I don't know what the blazes I'll do in Canada. I suppose I can starve there as well as anywhere else.
Oh, I shall give you something to start on. I can't do less for your mother's sake.
Well, I suppose I'd better be off to bed.
Don't knock your pipe out on the oven door.
I say, you're looking rather played out. And you better toddle off, too.
I'm just coming.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I had a funny dream last night, Auntie.
What was that?
I dreamt Miss Fisk was dead.
Oh? Well, good night, Albert.
Good night, Auntie. Good night.
Oh, God. Let me rest. Let me rest.
I've opened the oven door. Are you ready, Lucy?
Yes, Albert. I'm ready.
Good girl. You look Miss Fisk to the life in that dress and red wig. Now sit here on the piano stool. That's it.
Albert, was that you?
The oven door. It's open. Someone at the piano. Leonora! Oh, God!
No
sign of her yet? No. Oh, Albert, I'm scared. I wish I knew if she thought it was me dressed up.
Of course she didn't. She thinks she saw a ghost.
All the same, I can't help wishing we hadn't done it now. I never thought she'd go and faint. She might have died. Then we'd have been responsible.
Pull yourself together. She didn't die. And we've proved what we wanted. That Miss Fisk is dead and Aunt Ellen knows it. But to be doubly sure, I've put Miss Fisk's wig on the piano behind that vase. And we'll see what she does when she sees it.
Oh, no.
If I'm right, she'll have to cough up what we want. And when we've lined our pockets, we'll take a little trip round the world. Just us two, eh?
Oh, she'll have it on my conscience for the rest of my life.
Oh, rubbish, I'm not asking you to do anything criminal. All I want is for you to go on listening at the door and telling me what you hear. That's not much to ask now, is it?
You'd persuade the devil himself, you would.
Oh, sorry, miss. It's all right, Lucy. I haven't spilt much of it. Albert, I've brought your cup of tea. It's getting cold.
Aren't you going to finish your breakfast?
Now, I've had enough, thanks, Auntie. I'm going upstairs to shave.
I'm worried about Ellen, Emily. Why did she faint like that last night? It wasn't like her. Ellen doesn't faint.
I think she was walking in her sleep. I've heard her go downstairs on other nights. I think her thoughts of Miss Fisk are at the back of it.
Do you know, Emily, I'm sometimes so afraid that Miss Fisk will get the better of Ellen. I sometimes think she wants to come back and turn us out.
I don't think she ever sold the house to Ellen. I think Miss Fisk is here now. That was her tune last night, that silly titwillow.
Oh, you heard it too. I thought I was dreaming. Oh, Ellen, you shouldn't come down. Do you think you're well enough?
It's all right, darling. I'm quite strong again.
But, Ellen, you walked in your sleep last night.
I wasn't asleep, Louisa. I thought I heard someone moving about the house.
But if you were wide awake, why did you faint?
I thought I saw someone, but it turned out to be nobody.
Emily and I thought we heard someone, too.
Who did you think you heard?
Miss Fisk.
We thought we heard her playing that sad little song about the willow tree. You remember it?
I remember. But there's no point in going on talking about it.
Oh, Ellen, what if Miss Fisk should be hiding somewhere in the house and playing tricks on us to punish us for being here?
Now, don't talk so foolishly, darling. Miss Fisk is a long way away. Where are you going, Emily?
Down to the Priory to see the jackdaws. Coming, Louisa?
Oh, yes, I should like to see them. I'll carry the bread for you.
It was only imagination. It must have been.
Oh, you're down here. Are you better?
Yes, thank you, Lucy.
I'm so glad.
Can I get you a cup of tea or anything?
No. I've got to go out in a minute. Bates ought to be here now.
Bates? But he's been and gone, miss. Mr. Albert sent him away. He thought you were too poorly to get up.
Find Mr. Albert, will you, Lucy? And tell him I want him.
Oh, yes, miss. He went upstairs to shave. Oh, here he is now.
Good morning, Aunt Ellen. We didn't expect you down today.
Is that why you sent Bates away?
Partly.
What do you mean by interfering? Arrangements. Last night you accepted the idea of going to Canada.
You're forgetting what happened afterwards. It didn't seem to me that you were in any shape to make a journey in the morning.
That was nothing. It was only a little faintness. We'll go tomorrow instead. You're going to catch that boat, you understand that?
I hear what you say.
They tell me you were very good to me last night. I'd like to say thank you.
Oh, that was only a nephewly feeling. It was a queer turn you had. What actually happened?
I must have had some kind of nervous seizure.
Yes, I've noticed you seemed a bit nervy.
It's because I haven't been sleeping.
I sleep like a top. I expect you'd say that's because I haven't got a conscience to bother me.
What's behind that remark, Albert?
Nothing. Auntie, I've got a little confession to make.
What? Another?
You were away last June fetching your sisters, weren't you?
Well?
Well, I called here. And I met Miss Fisk.
Oh?
She was very kind to me. I was a bit short at the time and she lent me some ready. Out of her little safe there, you know. The one that's bricked up now. We agreed not to tell you. We thought it might worry you. But now I think you ought to know. Oh! I'm sorry, Auntie. Your best vase, I'm afraid.
Leonora's wig. You know.
Aha.
It was you last night, too.
Me? And Lucy?
Lucy.
Oh, it's all right. I took care she didn't know what I know.
What are you going to do?
Nothing. You've told me nothing. I know nothing.
But you want something.
Oh, yes. I want something. You know, Auntie, I've always had a fancy to settle in the country.
What do you mean, here?
Oh, why not? I could help you keep an eye on things. I shan't lose my nerve. Oh, and I shall want a little wedding present. I may have to marry Lucy. We shall be a very happy little family here, shan't we?
You surely don't propose to go on living here with me?
Why not?
Well, for one thing, you'd never be quite sure, would you, Albert? There are more ways than one, you know.
You wouldn't dare. A second time?
What makes you so sure?
Supposing I said I'd risk it.
You won't, now that I've frightened you. You've got a very good appetite, haven't you, Albert? And you'd hardly be likely to enjoy your meals.
You're bluffing.
Am I? Do you think I'm going to let a little thing like you stand in my way? It takes a lot of courage to kill for the first time, Albert. But once you've sold your soul to the devil, it comes easier. I think you know why I did what I did. I did it to secure to my poor sisters a little of what the world owes them. They're all I have. I think you know what I've suffered. You've helped to torture me. But don't think I'm going to hand over what I've taken to a little whippersnapper who's repaid my kindness with cheap treachery.
All right. What's it worth to you if I do clear out? We're both after the same thing. Cash, aren't we? What do you say to £500?
You're wasting your breath.
You wouldn't like me to suggest to the police that they came and did a bit of renovating to your chimney piece, would you?
I don't quite see you going to the police.
Oh, they'd forget what I've done. If I went and told them that the Ed that wore that wig hasn't any more use for it.
No, Albert. You've chosen the wrong moment. It's broad daylight now. Hide that wig, quickly. Oh, put it under the cushion. That's right.
Good morning, Sister Teresa.
Won't you come in?
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting, but I just wanted to see you privately, Miss Creed.
Yes?
Oh, I'm glad your nephew's here. Well, it's really no business of mine, and I oughtn't have come, I know, but we've just had a call from the police. They've driven over from Gravesend.
Gravesend?
Yes. I heard them talking to the Reverend Mother. They're looking for a young man who's supposed to have taken money from a bank. He's been traced to the marshes. Their description tallied so closely with that of your nephew here that I thought I'd ought to come and let you know. Of course, if I knew that it was your nephew, it would be very wrong of me to warn you.
Did the Reverend Mother say I was here?
She doesn't know. She told them that at the moment there were simply three elderly ladies living here at Estuary House. So the officers have gone down to the marsh to Decoy Farm. But I thought, well, I ought to come up and tell you because, well, Miss Fisk's such a great mutual friend. I know that she would like me to.
Well, on her behalf, sister, thanks for the tip.
Ah, it was you. I was afraid so. I am sorry.
So am I, but I can't go into that now. I've got to look slippy. You got any cash handy, Auntie?
Yes. You can take this handbag. It hasn't what you wanted in it, but it's not empty. You'll find your ticket in there, too.
Good. I'll get that boat somehow. I better slip out the back way and through the woods. So long, sister. Bye, Auntie. Tell Lucy, will you?
I had a brother like that. Oh, they're so easily lost now, aren't they? It's wrong of me, but I hope he gets away.
I'm afraid in Albert's case it's only postponing the evil day.
Well, you know, postponement's life.
Is it? Yes. I suppose in the case of the little sinner it is. But if one has sinned very deeply, postponement can be death. It can be worse than death.
Oh. I suppose you're talking of what they call the death in life.
Do they call it that?
Oh, but it doesn't apply to your nephew. He's young. He may change. Oh, I suppose I'm rather simple-minded.
We're always praying to be delivered from evil, and I find it so difficult to believe that it exists.
You'll please not to tell anyone I came now, will you?
Thank you for coming, sister.
Thank you.
And thank you for warning us. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Lucy, what were you doing outside that door? Come here, I have something to tell you. It's about Mr. Albert. Lucy, come back. A death in life. What must be.
Oh, it's quite warm out, Ellen. We fed the jackdaws.
Oh, why are you putting your coat on, Ellen? Where are you going?
Out.
Oh. As we were coming up the lane, we met Lucy. She was running so fast. We thought there was something the matter and that she must be coming to fetch us. But she climbed over the stile and ran down the path towards Decoy Farm.
Decoy Farm? That's where I'm going. There are some gentlemen there from Gravesend. I want to see them.
Gravesend?
Yes.
Oh, are they friends of Albert's?
No, darling. Nothing to do with Albert. It's a personal matter.
Oh, you won't bring them here, will you, Ellen? It's so nice and peaceful by ourselves.
No. I'll try not to bring them here. You have been happy here, haven't you?
Oh, we are happy. And it's so good of you to have bought this house for us. You have been clever.
Very clever.
How long will you be?
I don't know, darling. I may be quite a time.
Oh, it's a lovely day.
We can look after ourselves, can't we, Emily?
Yes, we can look after ourselves. Goodbye, Ellen.
Goodbye.
In Ladies in Retirement by Edward Percy and Reginald Denham, adapted for broadcasting by Cynthia Pugh, the part of Ellen Creed was played by Valerie White, Leonora Fisk by Marjorie Westbury, Albert Feather by Nigel Graham, Lucy Gillam, Peggy Butt, Sister Teresa by Gudrun Ewer, and Bates by Peter Marinka. Emily Creed was played by Gladys Spencer, and Louisa Creed by Hilda Kreisman, and not as printed in the Radio Times. The pianist was Frederick Stone. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Martin C. Webster.